Ritz Hashem will continue with the sugya of Nesias Kapayim. The Gemara in Sota, which is the first source on your page, a Gemara on Daf Lamiches Amid Beis, has a very interesting case for Birchas Kohanim, for Nesias Kapayim. Omar Adom Rav Simloi Beis Knesses Shekula Kohanim. We have trouble enough getting Kohanim. Kulam Olim L'Duchan. So they'll all go up and they'll Duchan. So the Gemara asks the obvious question, L'mi Mevarchim? I mean, it's meaningless unless there's someone who's accepting the bracha, who's receiving the bracha. In this case, every member of the shul is going up to Duchan, who's receiving the bracha. Omar Abzera. Rav Zera suggests the following answer. Le'acheihem Shebesodos. We'll see Rashi in just a second. I want to point out, as we go through this sugya, that this concept of Acheihem Shebesodos does not originate here in Birchas Kohanim, in the sugya in Sota, but I believe, I'm not sure, but I believe that it originates in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, actually in a Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, the way the Gemara understands that Mishnah. What is this concept of Acheihem or Am Shebesodos? So Rashi tells us these are individuals who cannot come to the shul. And why is that? Anisi, there are circumstances beyond their control. And what is that? B'malachtan. They're too busy
working
in their malach. Right.
So this is at the time the Beis Hamikdash is still kind of, right?
Even today. I mean, this halach is paskin in Shulchan Aruch and in the Rambam, as we'll soon see. So it's not limited to the time of the Beis Hamikdash, for sure not. So what happens here with the Acheihem Shebesodos? Rashi says, Einam Yecholim Lovo. Now I'm a little bit confused about this status of Acheihem Shebesodos, and I'm going to throw out here a question. But Mirtz Hashem, I think what the question is a little bit premature. I think after we go through the sugya, maybe we'll get more of a grasp on the question. But just, you know, shooting from the hip. I mean, what are we saying over here? Are we saying that because someone is anus and he cannot come to shul, therefore what? It's as if he came to shul. I mean, you could say such a thing. I can't disagree that it is a logical possibility.
What do you mean?
I find it difficult to assume that he came to shul when he didn't come to shul. Again, he's anus, and anus rachmana patre. Oh, so that's the question here. Is it possible to say that the Gemara doesn't mean that it's as if he's in the shul, but that somehow he can be Mizbarech even if he's not in the shul? And I don't know how far you're going to go with that. You know, does Acheihem Shebesodos include anyone on the face of the globe? I couldn't care less if he's in China or in Argentina, wherever he might be. If he's anus and he can't come, he's called Am Shebesodos, Achori Sodos. And Acheihem Shebesodos can be yotze with this bracha that somehow, you know, magically, I don't know, it floats through midair.
There's more than dibble, but the fact they're using their finger, there's mispashit further than
right,
just dibble.
Right, especially dibble. That way we said it, that the Shekhinah is coming through their etzbos, so maybe the Shekhinah is not limited, and anyone could be considered Acheihem Shebesodos, no matter how far he is. I don't know. It's an interesting question.
It's the first source of the internet.
Right. This is the internet. Right. This is the what do they call it? Cyberspace. Right. So we're all in cyberspace. The Birchas Kohanim creates a Shechina that we can call cyberspace.
Well, there's people listening to your tape on Wadi Terra certainly are.
Okay. Are there any such people? I don't know. The Gemara assumes that there are Acheihem Shebesodos. I don't know that in my situation that exists. But just in case. Yeah. So the Gemara says, Eini, is this so? Vatani Abba Bereder of Minyamin Bar Chia. Am Shachore Hakonim Einon Bechlal Bracha. it means that the Gemara now, at least in the Hava Mina, finds a problem here with the statement of Ravada. Why? Because if there's a concept of Am Shebesados, or Achayim Shebesados, then Am Shachore HaKohanim, well, we'll see exactly what that means, but let's assume it means those who are inside the Beis HaKnesses, but they are behind the Kohanim, and we'll soon see that they don't take the effort, they don't make the effort of coming in front of the Kohen to face them, Panim El Panim. They too should be included in the Bracha. Why does the Brice of Abba say that Am Shachori Kohanim Einam Bechlal Bracha? It means that the Bracha, which as we said before, is somehow, you know, penetrating, filtering throughout the entire globe, but it can't go, it could go forwards, okay. Why can't it go backwards? That's the Gemara's kasha, right? That even those who are standing me'achori ha'konim, they too are somewhere on the globe, are they not? Why should they be omitted from the Bracha? Meaning, if you're saying that that you don't have to face the Kohanim, right? You're the Am, right? You're a member of the audience, and you're receiving the Bracha. You don't have to face the Kohanim to receive the Bracha. I mean, you're out there working on top of your trees, right? We had the case that we had in Brachas, you know, who's he's Ola al Ha'ilon, and you too, as Achayim Shebesados are being Mekabel the Bracha is just spreading out. So the same halach should apply to Achorei HaKohanim, Am Shachorei HaKohanim, they're behind the Kohanim, and they should be included in the Bracha. Oh. So again, the mathematical conclusion here that we have to draw, which I think will be amplified by the Gemara's answer here, is that not everyone is Bechlal HaBracha. What we're going to have to do here in order to reconcile the statement of Rav Ado with the Brice of Abba is we're going to have to assume that there are two categories. There are those who are somehow Bechlal HaBracha, and there are those who are Eino Bechlal HaBracha. And the Gemara is trying to navigate here and figure out, well, who are those who are Bechlal HaBracha, even though they're not in the synagogue, and who are Eino Bechlal HaBracha, even if they are in the synagogue. Lo kasha. Ha da anisi, ha de lo anisi.
It depends how they are on us, doesn't it? How they are on us. Not why, but how.
Okay, you want to say how? I would have said, are they on us? Are you saying the same as me? Are they on us? They may or not be anusim. Rashi says, delo anisi. You know, if you cannot come to the synagogue because you're working, okay, that's called anisi b'malachton v'enam yecholim lava. Rashi borrowed the word anisi at the beginning of this sugya. You notice that in the formulation of Ada, Omrav Simloi, there's no mention of anisi, right? The Gemara just says that Rabbi Zeron amplifies Rabbi Abba by saying that who are these Kohanim being Mevarech? The answer is Achayim Shebesados. Rashi points out that they are Anisi, correct? Why are they Anisi, says Rashi? They cannot come to Shul because they are busy with their Malacha. And if you have the status of Anisi, then you're Bechlal HaBracha. Now we have a case of those who are not Bechlal HaBracha because they cannot take advantage of being classified as Anisi, Lo Anisi. Rashi says, who are those who are Lo Anisi? I mean, they're not busy with their Malacha. Haraya, where are they? They're in Shul, correct? Home to Beis HaKnesses. But where are they? Achori HaKohanim. They don't make the effort, the minimal effort, of coming in front of the Kohen to receive the Bracha. In its perfect state, the bracha should be given panim el panim, and they're not willing to do that. Lo anisi, says Rashi. El she'ein habracha chashuva aleihem laka ragleihem v'lovo lifnei hakohanim lios mizbarchim panim keneged panim kidas. Again, when Rashi says panim keneged panim kidas, Rashi doesn't exclude the possibility of the bracha being chal on someone who's not face to face with the Kohen. Haraya, in the case of Anisi, namely the Am Shemeachorei Asados, they're not ponim el ponim. But Rashi says kidas. Kidas means that you're required to make the effort of having a perfect, shall we say, kabbalas abracha, and that would require what? Ponim el ponim, konim kneged ponim. If you have the option of taking advantage of the perfect state, the perfect vision, so to speak, of kabbalas habracha, namely ponim kneged ponim, and you deliberately fail to take advantage of that opportunity, that's considered someone who, if he doesn't take advantage of the l'chatchila possibility, he cannot even enjoy the b'di'evit, the fallback possibility of getting a bracha without ponim kineged ponim. You might say, "Well, what? Wait a minute. I'm standing behind the kohanim. I don't want to make the effort of standing face to face with the kohanim. But so what? What do I care one way or the other? I'm b'chlal a bracha because I'm no worse than whom? Then I'm shachorei." He's also not ponim kineged ponim. On the contrary, I'm even better than him. I'm at least in the walls, within the walls of the shul. I came to synagogue. So why should I be worse? So the halacha says no. You are mafkir yourself michlal abrocha, because what? You didn't take advantage of the opportunity of having the kiddus. What does the kiddus mean? The perfect bracha of ponim kineged ponim. You know, you get the impression here that Rashi is operating with a kind of a knas halacha. You know, it's almost like a penalty, or maybe even more than a penalty. It's a psychological revelation. You know, he's megala milsa that he's mezalzel in the bracha. He doesn't care about the bracha, and therefore Rashi says ein abracha chashuva beinehem. And if the bracha was chashuva beinem, they certainly would have come from me'achorei akonim to the ponim el kineged ponim of the kohanim, because the pasuk says kosev varchu ponim kineged ponim. They didn't take advantage of that, and therefore they were motzias atzmon michlal abracha. In other words, it's not that the bracha couldn't be chal and encompass even those who are me'achorei hakohanim. It could have, but since these kohanim, these Yisraelim, I should say, actively were, in a sense, laid back about the bracha, they didn't care about the bracha enough to make that effort and come ponim el ponim and be mekayim the mitzvah of Kosev Varchu, therefore they were motzi themselves mechlal lebracha and einon bechlal bechlal habracha. At this point, Rabosai, before we go on in the sugya, I would like to express my confusion. I'd like to formulate a question here, and I'm vacillating back and forth, and maybe you could help me with it. When we talk about Acheim Shebesodos, and there's no one in the tzibur here, because everyone that makes up this tzibur is a Kohen who's Ola L'duchen, what is the Gemara telling me about Acheim Shebesodos? Now, when I ask this question, I want to first introduce, give you a framework, a perspective for this question. We've discussed in the past that the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim is not just a mitzvah that's relevant to whom? To the Kohanim. But there's also a relevancy of whom?
The Mizbarchim.
The Mizbarchim, exactly. So there are two parts or dimensions to the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim. There's the Mevarchim and the Mizbarchim. Now, I wanted to bring in the Sefer HaYireim, that was written by one of the Bali Atosos, Rabbi Lezer Mimetz. I don't have the Sefer, and my Sfarim are in disarray back in Har Nof, so I apologize for that. But the Sefer HaYireim is the most explicit Rishon that I found that formulates a twofold mitzvah. There's a mitzvah on the Kohanim, Levarech, And he says there's a mitzvah on the Yisraelim lehisbarech. So that which we've said, and until this point, I was only willing to say that there may be a kium on behalf of the tzibur of the Am to be makabel the bracha, to receive the bracha. I was not willing to say that there's a mitzvah or a chova to be makabel the bracha, to be mizbarech. But b'li neder, as soon as I find the Sefer Yireim, I will show you that the Sefer, or maybe Yechiel, you can find it as we speak.
I'm looking for it as well.
Okay, see if you can look for it. The Sefer Yireim is explicit that there's a twofold mitzvah. The mitzvah is incumbent not just on the Kohenim Levarech, but also on the Yisraelim Lehisbarech. So for the time being, just so that we can get through today's discussion, I'm going to ask for a little rope over here, as they say, a little amunas chachamim, and you'll have to believe me that such a Sefer Yireim exists. Okay, I don't usually like to quote Sfarim without, you know, seeing them inside. But so b'dieved, right now, maybe you feel.
I found the Sefer.
Yeah, no, but the question is where to find. You know, yeah, I don't know how to do a word search. I mean, you'll start with Nesias Kapayim, maybe, and then you'll see if you can find.
Research. Download it as a PDF.
Yeah. Okay, then.
Search on
it. But again, I don't want to waste too much time here for this. You know, I think you can give me. Okay, fine. Oh, so now let's talk for a moment about Acheim Shebesodos. Yesh Lachkar. I don't know what the Gemara is saying. Perhaps the Gemara is saying that the Acheim Shebesodos are being Mekayim their mitzvah of being Mizbarchim. That's one way of saying it. Frankly speaking, I don't like it. You don't like it either, Yisrael? Okay, so maybe you'll like my second approach better. Because honestly, I find it very difficult, with all due respect to the Shechina going out and the whole globe and the universe, blah, blah, blah. In halachic terms, how can you tell me that they fulfill? Again, onus rachmana patre. Again, I'm not going to punish you. I'm not going to give you shmeitzin because you didn't come to shul. You were busy working. But to say that therefore you are being mekayim your chiyuv, that's very hard for me to say. So therefore, I would like to suggest the second possibility. Yisrael, go ahead.
My problem with that is, how can one be fulfilling the mitzvah without being conscious of it?
Without being active in any way, you know, somehow magically.
Not even active, even being conscious.
Right. No, exactly. Conscious, I don't know. You know, today we have cell phones, so,
yeah,
you know, but while he's up on the tree, you know, we call him on the cell phone. You know, today, maybe he could listen to the bracha and cut him over the cell phone. You know, today we have all the technology.
But
to say that he's continuing in his work, which is a great thing, you know, we were all, except for Dobie Gillis, you know, we all love work, right? But therefore, to say that he's Mekayim his mitzvah, okay, that's an American shtick, but Mekayim his mitzvah of being Mekabel the Bracha from the Kohenim when he's busy with his work, I I'm not saying it's wrong. What I want to do is see the source, the original source for this concept of Am Shebesodos. Anybody know where that is? I mentioned it earlier. It's in Rosh Hashanah. And see if that's going to shed a light. Because sometimes if you go back to the first time a concept appears in Shas, in Halacha, you get a feeling for a ripple effect, how that concept should apply throughout the Halacha. But give me a few minutes to get to that point. I'm just saying at this point that intuitively, I feel uncomfortable as much as I, you know, again, my heart goes out for those who cannot come to shul, they're busy with the malacha, there are people who get up, you know, kibbutznikim who wake up in the middle of the night to go out there and pluck the fruit off the tethers. My heart goes out for them, but to say that from the Urayim's perspective, they were makayim the mitzvah that's incumbent upon them to receive a brach from the Kohanim, I'm not comfortable with that. I'm not saying it's wrong, but I'm going to try to see as we move in to the mode of Rosh Hashanah how we can deal with
it. Is it possible?
I would like to suggest a second possibility. What's the second possibility? Eino chinam. The Am Shebesodos are not Mekayim their mitzvah. But when we say that there's a halacha of Mizbarchim, that because they are Anusim, therefore they are Mizbarchim, that's only a reality that touches or impacts upon the Maisa Bracha of the Kohen. That's what I think the Gemara is trying to say. That the Kohanim, ostensibly with not one pew in the synagogue being occupied by anyone, it's a meaningless act. Nay, it's not meaningless. There is, shall I say, a Tzuras HaBracha, a Chalushem Bracha, there's a Mavarech, there's even a Mizbarech. In reality, you know, in Chefza, you know, not in Gavra. You know, the Gavra is not coming forward to be Mekabel his Bracha. That Kiyum and that Chiyuv, that fulfillment of his mitzvah, I cannot grant him. But what I can grant is that the reality of Bracha, in other words, the Maisa Bracha of the Kohen, is not meaningless. It's not an empty set. It is a Maisa Bracha. So the Gemara asks, and that's where Reb Zeir is coming to answer, what do you mean, Maisa Bracha? I don't see a soul. There's not a soul there in the audience. All of the tzibur is up on the duchen. So the answer is, you know what? In some sense, like Daniel said before, the Shekhinah is going out there and the bracha is being bestowed and somehow it's filtering in throughout the universe. Great. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to go as far as... And I'll tell you what the nafkamin is. I was just thinking out loud to our both sides. Let's say the malacha, you know, it started at 4 in the morning, they're out in the fields, and now it's 10 a.m. The Kohanim have already given the bracha. But you know what? There's a Chabad minion down the road, right? And again, you can't accuse me of being anti-Chabad because that would undermine all my yichus, seven generations Chabad. But what I'm saying is that there's a later minion, right? You don't know if they're davening today's davening or yesterday's davening, but whatever it is, there's a later minyan. And now, I'm sure enough, right? They're above time. And now, these Acheim Shebesodos could actually come and receive the bracha from the Kohanim. From the Urayim's perspective, would they be obligated to do so? According to the first pshat that we said that the Achoreis Shoses, as if they're in the Beis Knesses, they are fulfilling their mitzvah because of their being Mizbarchim. There's no need to be Matriach them to seek out a second minyan. But if our second pshat is correct, that although they are meaningful, even when they're out there in the fields, that's only to set up the bracha of the Kohen, to facilitate and allow the Kohen to make the bracha, because they are in some sense being misbarach, but it in no way allows them up on the trees out there to fulfill their chiyuv mitzvah according to the Sefer Yireim, to be makavel actively the bracha, or as Yisrael points out, to be conscious of the bracha bichlal. I would suggest in this case that if possible, they should make an effort to come into the shul at the end of the workday, if they only can, to receive the bracha. The only problem I have with the second pshat, which I am much more excited about, especially as we see the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, Mirtz Hashem, is this story about the Am She'achorei HaKohanim. Am She'achorei HaKohanim, says the Braisa, Abba B'reid Rav Minyam, Baruch Hiyo, Einon B'chlal HaBrocha. And this I don't understand. If the entire halacha here has nothing to do with the Gavra HaMizbarech and whether he fulfills his obligation, it was crystal clear from the get-go, according to our second approach, that the Gavra himself, even though he's Mizbarech, is not Mekayim his Chovas Gavra to be a Mizbarech, to be Mekabel the Bracha. That was clear. It means that the whole discussion here is about whether or not we can justify and make some sort of meaningful entity called a Bracha on behalf of the Kohanim. Then who cares if these, I don't know what to call them, these schlubs, these lazy bones, are behind the Kohanim? Why aren't they bichlal the bracha? Again, you want to talk about penalties, you want to talk about knas, do you want to use the language of the bracha of Rashi, ena bracha chashuva beinehem? That's all fine and dandy. But if the whole deal, if the whole discussion in this sugya from A to Z is about whether or not you could make the bracha of the Kohanim meaningful, why should we exclude the relationship between the bracha and those who are achori
akon? I'll give you an opportunity. Because they themselves have excluded themselves. And they've actively excluded themselves.
Yeah. There's a difference between
being an onus, where you can't help it, and here, by not moving in front of the Kohanim, you're declaring, I don't want
the bracha. Negative kavod. There's a difference between...
Fucking negative kavod.
Right.
There's a difference...
Keep away this bracha for me. I don't want... That's how chutzpahdik they are. I mean, not only are they unwilling... Yeah, this is what Yisrael is saying. Yeah, that's what I want you to think about. Not only are they unwilling to fulfill the mitzvah kiddas, as Rashi says, which is kosev varchu, panim keneged panim, it's moreover, they don't want the bracha. And I want to tell you a story that happened just yesterday. And I didn't make up the story for the shiur, believe it or not. A woman calls me up yesterday. Daniel, you'll be interested to hear this. And she's a woman that comes often to daven with us here in the Amic Learning Center. And she says that she has a business associate, a girl who made aliyah from Russia, who's not religious and not even interested in religion. She doesn't want to hear about Kiruv or any of this. But her mother died 10 days ago, and she would like the synagogue members to pray on behalf of her mother. Do you hear this? I'm not going to tell you how much she offered, because I didn't ask for money. But she offered a nedava, okay? And that nedava would possibly cover the expenses for today's shiur, okay? But what be that as it may, and I'm thinking to myself, the woman is clearly not interested in Yiddishkeit. She was brought up in Russia. She probably, okay, I don't want to say this out loud, she probably, let me say it in Lashon HaMotah, has doubts about the existence of God, okay? I'm just saying it in Lashon HaMotah. Because, as Sholem points out, there is an internet out there, so we have to be careful. But nevertheless, she wants us to pray on behalf of her mother. So when you tell me that the Am Shemeachorei HaKohanim don't want to accept the bracha, you know, look at this lahachesnik. You know, he's looking at 10 Kohanim, right? The 10 Kohanim were up there on the Duchen, and he's saying, I don't want your bracha. In Yiddish, we say, Vas Artir. Vasartin, what do you care? So let's say you don't believe in the bracha. Let's take Rashi to its extreme. Rashi says, "Ein bracha chashuva by name." We're going to add a word to Rashi. Klal. You know, they don't care about the bracha at all. But vasartin, you know, ma yesh lechalaf sin miseh. Okay, so you're not interested in being mekayim the mitzvah kiddos. Fine, but to go ahead and say therefore you reject the bracha. And there's no heftes of bracha that the Kohen is not being a mevarech. Once again, yeah, Rav Mosai, you know, as I always say, you're the jury. There's no kafaleim harki gigas here. I personally find it uncomfortable to go down that
road. Starting from there,
you want to make a little tanya?
Yeah, that's the only sugi I found.
Okay, let me just see if I could find this. Oh boy. This is in the middle of the thing, or how does it go in this order?
Yeah, those pages are in that order.
But what's on page 251? That's I don't know. Because I think the piece that I need is at the very beginning. The Sefer Yireim.
Yeah.
Is this the first paragraph about Nesias Kapayim?
That's the first one I found that had anything about it.
Because I see in the previous paragraph he speaks about Nesias Kapayim as well.
Because
I'm hoping that there's some sort of introduction to this mitzvah.
Right, and go back a few pages and see.
Do me a favor, Rabos. Again, if I don't concentrate, I won't be able to say the shiur. So,
you're right. There's more here.
No, Yechiel, listen. Do me a favor.
I got it. Yeah.
Yeah, if you find it, you find it. If not, Blineder, I'll find it. For you. The Sefer Yireim, it's quoted in all the poskim that there's a chiv to be a mizbar, that there's a mitzvah. Okay, so we'll find the Sefer Yireim. Let's again, if you find it, great. I don't have time to go through three pages here and find it. Okay, Rabosai. Okay, so again, let me just summarize, because I'm going to lose my kivun over here. What I'm suggesting is that on the one hand, I'm quite convinced, and I'm going to try to convince you, that the discussion here about Achem Shebesodos is not about Kiyum Chovaso and the fact that he now is completely exonerated, you know, from the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim. After all, he already received the bracha. No, that's not what it's all about. It's about the bracha itself. On the other hand, I have to admit that this Shakal Vitaria, Eini, says the Gemara, but what about the statement of the Braisa Am Shachorei Kohanim Eino Bechlal Abracha, which means Eino Bechlal Abracha means they're not Mizbarchim at all, and the Bracha doesn't relate to them. And the Gemara says, well, that's because Lo Anisi, and now what we're going to have to say is because of Lo Anisi, the Bracha doesn't even relate to them at all, like this magical Shechina that's bestowing goodness and great, you know, and great compassion to the world, that they're excluded from that. That's very difficult. But Rabosai, let me go back to the source, what I believe is the source of the halacha of Acheim Shebesodos. The Mishnah tells us in Masechta Rosh Hashanah with regard to the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. Keep in mind that Rosh Hashanah davening is very complicated, and you can't expect everyone, especially when they didn't have printed Machzorim back in the day, to be able to recite all the brachas properly. It's good enough if the whole year round they memorize the brachas, but to expect every last member of the community to remember the 9 brachos of Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, that's really complicated. Even the shortest Musaf Rosh Hashanah should take you about 20 minutes. I know people who stand Shmon Esri Musaf Rosh Hashanah for an hour. There's so much there. It's like the whole universe. So when Gamliel says, I have a solution to this problem, the Shliach Tzibur is Motzi Es HaRabim Yidei Chovoso. Okay. Okay, let's just go through the sugya and hold off with your questions until we get a picture, okay? The Gemara says the following. So the Mishnah is on Lamed Gimel. We fast forward to Lamed Hey, Omer of Acha, etc., etc. Poter Hoyer Rav Gamliel Afilu Am Shebesodos. Meaning, if you're talking about someone who came to the shul and he's listening carefully to the Shliach Tzibur and he recites Amen to the brachos of the Shliach Tzibur, Nicha. That I understand. I don't need a revolutionary chiddush of Rav Gamliel for that. We know that in its initial stage, the takona of Chazoras HaShatz was made on behalf of whom? The Eino Baki, a person who cannot, he's not an expert to daven. So I don't need Rabbi Gamliel for that. The Chiddush of Rabbi Gamliel, says Rav Acha, is the Am Shebesodos. Are they hearing the brachos? Are they reciting Amen to the brachos? They're not even in the synagogue. And the Gemara goes on to say, "V'lo mi boy hani dekaimi hacha." How much more so those who are here? Again, it depends. When you say those who are here in shul, if they're a baki, that's one thing. A baki is obligated to daven on his own. But if he's an eino baki, he could be yotze through the shliach tzibur. He says, "Adrava hani anisi hani lo anisi." If there are those who are in the shul and could daven on their own, we're not going to make a takon on their behalf. That's lo anisi. But those who can't even make it to shul, they're in the sados. Again, you have to understand what they're doing in the sados on Rosh Hashanah. Maybe they're not working in this case, but they cannot make it to synagogue. Is that called anisi? In any event, those who are anus, they can be yotze through the shliach tzibur, even though they're not in the shul. The Tani Abba Berei de Rav Binyamin Bar Chia Am Shachorei Akonim Eino Bechlal Bracha El Kiyosa Ravin Am Rav Yaakov Bar Idi Om Rav Shimon Bar Chiz De Lo Potter Rav Liel Am Shebesados Mishum Da Nisei Bimolacha Avol Be'ir Lo. Those who could come into shul, and this is the last, the Gemara Masechta Rosh Hashanah, they are not included. Now, Rabosai, let's just understand something. The original source for this concept of Am Shebesodos is the Shliach Tzibur of Rav Gamliel, who's being motzi them, even though they're not in shul, in this case, on Rosh Hashanah. And I ask myself the following question. Are you telling me that the Am Shebesodos are Yotze Vechiv Tfila through the Shliach Tzibur when they can't even come in? That's not what we're saying. What we're saying is that as long as they're in the state of anus, let's say during the year, they are involved in malacha, and they can't come to shul, they can't interrupt their malacha, at that moment, they're potter from the mitzvah of tefillah. However, clearly, and this is brought down in the poskim, as soon as they complete their malacha, and now they can come into daven in shul, because again, if you're in shul, mimarashach, you're davening. If you're a baki, you're davening by yourself. If you're an enya baki, you're listening to the shliach tzibur, correct? But if you're not in the shul, mimarashach, you're not davening. Ella, what does a new halach of poter hayer Rav Gamliel? What does that mean, poter? Poter means that right now they're at nisi. And what does it mean they're at nisi? We're going to look aside because they are totally dedicated to their malacha. But what happens the minute that that onus is removed, and now they have an opportunity to catch a late minion, as I call it? Then for sure they're obligated to come and daven. They haven't davened yet. So Rabosai, I think what we're saying is that the halacha of Amshe B'Sados is not a halacha in Kiyum HaMitzvah. I have an obligation to pray, to tefillah. I'm yotzei my mitzvah of tefillah because I'm an onus? An onus is not yotzei his mitzvah of tefillah. Okay, he can't be there in shul. So Gamliel says, onus rachmona patra, you're potter. But now that I'm no longer onus, you're going to tell me I don't have to come and daven because I was already yotzei my chiyuv? Impossible. It's unthinkable to say that he was yotzei his chiyuv tefillah when he didn't daven. He didn't daven literally, begufo. He didn't daven metaphysically through amen. There was no davening whatsoever. Is the entire halacha of Amshe B'Sados halacha in p'tur, not kiyum, but p'tur. Poter hayiram gamliel Amshe B'Sados. But now that they can fulfill their mitzvah and the onus is removed, certainly they have a chiyuv tefillah. That chiyuv tefillah has not dissipated. And insofar as there's still time and there's still availability to daven, they certainly have to daven. Is Memela, I'd like to make a hekesh here. Kishem, just like in the case of tefillah, the Amshe B'Sados, a potter mitfilah, but it's not a kiyum tefillah, so too in the case of Birchas Kohanim, we could say that insofar as they couldn't come to shul because they're busy in the sodos, to be makabel the brach, and be makayim the Sefer Yireim's mitzvah of chayev adam lekabel es habracha, okay, we have a din of a p'tur, that's fine. But when the onus is gone, then enochinami, they have to be mekayim the mitzvah. It's one thing to say a person is potter from the mitzvah. It's an entirely different thing to say that a person was mekayim the mitzvah.
But what is the lashon then to say? What is the whole purpose of having the shliach tzibur that is being quote motzi them whatever it is? If you're saying all they're doing is saying they're potter. The potter, you don't need a shliach tzibur up there to be potter.
No, the takana from Gamliel was that they're potter. The shliach tzibur I need for an eno baki who's in the shul. He's going to fulfill his chovas tefillah. If he's an eno baki and he's in the shul and he hears the shliach tzibur, later on, let's say somebody teaches him the halacha, the nusach tefillah, would he be obligated to daven? Chas v'sholom, he was yotzei his chiyuv tefillah.
Yeah, right.
But in the case of Amshe Achori HaSados, the halacha, the formulation of Rav Gamliel was, you know what, we're going to recognize your anus situation. We're going to say, kol zman that you're anus and you're involved in malacha, you're potter from coming into shul and davening. Okay, so not everyone's chayv in tefillah. There are many cases of people who are tarud or they're not naki or whatever it is, they can't daven. And malacha is also a poter. But the moment that you have the onus is removed, you have the opportunity, the ability to hear tefillah, be makayim tefillah, whether it means to hear it from the shatz or daven personally, if you're a baki or neinah baki, you're chayv to do so. We're not learning Hilchos Tefillah now, but I just want to say that if this is the paradigm case of Amshe B'Sados, and Rav Gamliel's takono is only to potter them as long as they're anusim, and Rav Gamliel says they don't have to drop everything in the malacha and take a tremendous hefseid in order to be mekayim nechovas tefillah, the same kind of halacha applies with regard to Birchas Kohanim. The members of the congregation of Israel have an obligation to be mizbarchim, but you know what? We're going to institute a p'tur insofar as there are nusim b'malachtam, but the very moment that that onus is missing, they would have to fulfill their obligation to be mizbarchim by coming into the shul. Now, if that be the case, what did the Gemara say when it formulated this halacha of bichlal habracha? What did the Gemara mean to say that the Am Shebesodus is bichlal habracha? Bichlal habracha would seem to indicate that those who are in the Sodos and their Anusim are included in the bracha. Yeah, they're included in the bracha, but not b'toras chovas kavra. They weren't mekayim their obligation. They're included in the bracha, which justifies and makes it meaningful for the Kohanim to be mevorach.
What does that mean? Am Shachrei Kohanim Einam bichlal bracha?
Oh, so that's the difficult line. I don't have a full solution to that, because it sounds like Eino B'chlal Bracha means they're not Mizbarchim at all.
It means they have to move.
Pardon the expression, rumpuses, they're not even B'chlal Bracha. They don't even have a status of Mizbarch. That's what I'm suggesting. Now, Rabosai, I have here. Just one second, let me just see where I'm up to here. Yeah, I have here a paragraph that I wanted to share with you. If we can give this out, I hope I made enough copies. Here's the case. What if there's one Yisrael? Okay? One second. Yeah, I'm sorry. You know, I gave it out a little prematurely. Hold on to it. But let's go back to our page, because I jumped the gun a little bit. Vatani Rav Simi Mibarte de Shichuri. Okay, Shichuri is the name of a country, and Bir Torashi says is the capital of that country. Fine. So what does Rav Simi say? Beis Knesset Shekula Kohanim Miktsasan Olim Umiktsasim Olim Amen. Here we have a different solution to the problem of a Beis Knesset Shekula Kohanim. Instead of the solution of making the Cheftzah Shel Bracha meaningful because of the Acheim Shebesados, what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to set up some of the Kohanim, take them out of the Duchen, and put them into the pews in the synagogue. Lo Kasha. Hadish Tayer Be'asara, Hadalosh Tayer Be'asara. The Gemara says the following. If you have such a number of Kohanim, let's say you have 11 Kohanim, correct? So how many will now be able to, if we take one Kohen for the bracha, how many will be able to be Mavarach in the Duchen? No, I'm saying you have 11 Kohanim, right? And you take 10 in order to sit in the pews to create a tzibur of those who receive. So you have at least one Kohen, correct? In the case where there are only 10 Kohanim and you don't have the 11th Kohen, then you're in trouble. Why? Because there's no one sitting in the pews. And if you take out one Kohen, you don't have the possibility of the 9 Kohanim being mevarech one Kohen. That's what it seems to be.
Why not?
If there are 10 Kohanim, you can't set up one Kohen to be Mekayel the Bracha. We don't know why yet. I mean, that's going to be the Shiur for today. But leaving that question out, if you have 11 Kohanim and you could set up 10 Kohanim to be Mekayel the Bracha, right? Let's say, for example, you had 10 Kohanim and one Yisrael. So what would you do? You don't need Abba Shevisados. The 10 Kohanim would be Mevarek the one Yisrael. That's fine. But now we have a case of Kohanim without Yisrael, a Beis Knesset Shekula Kohanim. So what are your options now? There are no Yisraelim. So there are two possibilities. One possibility is to rely on Abba Shevisados, and that makes the Birchas Kohanim of all the Kohanim in the Shul meaningful. The other possibility is to take out some of the Kohanim, place them in the Tzibur, in the pews, and have the Kohanim be Mevarech the Kohanim. So the Gemara says, "Lo kasha hadish tayr be'asara, de lo ishtayr be'asara." If you have only Kohanim and you don't want to rely on Am Shebesados, how do you make that meaningful? Only in a situation where you could have 10 Kohanim in the audience. Less than 10 Kohanim will not cut the mustard. If you had one Yisrael, it would be fine. But if you have 9 Kohanim, that wouldn't be fine. In other words, 10 Kohanim is equal to one Yisrael. So if you have 11 Kohanim, you have a solution. If you have 10 Kohanim and 1 Yisrael, you have a solution. When do I need Am Shebesados? I need Am Shebesados in a case where I only have 10 Kohanim. Because if I only have 10 Kohanim, there's no way of getting a Birchas Kohen with 10 Kohanim in the audience. And there are no Yisraelim to be had, to be found. So we need the Amshe B'Sados. But I don't need the Amshe B'Sados in the following two scenarios. Scenario number one, where I have one Yisrael in addition to the 10 Kohanim, let the 10 Kohanim duchen on behalf of the one Yisrael. So scenario number two is where I have 11 Kohanim, and I can have one Kohen duchen on behalf of the 10 Kohanim. But if I had 11 Kohanim, and I want 9 Kohanim, and I want 10 Kohanim to be Mavarech 1, or any other mathematical combination, that I can't have. In a Beis Knesset Shekula Kohanim, the only option of splitting up the Kohanim in such a way that you could have a Kohen HaMavarech and a Kohen HaMisbarech is only if I could get 10 Kohanim in the Tzibur. And the question is why?
Are you saying that the Tzibur, that if there's not 10 people in front of the Kohen, that is...
Well, who are the 10 people, Alan? Are they Kohanim or Yisrael?
Forget about it.
Again, no, well, that's the answer to the question. No. If there's one person in the Tzibur and he happens to be Yisrael, then all the Kohanim can duchen on behalf of the Yisrael. If, on the other hand, you can't come up with the Yisrael, I can't find the Yisrael, that would be an interesting mitzvah. I can't find the Yisrael, right? I can't find the Yisrael, high and low, right? Chipasti b'neirot, as they say here in Israel. I can't find the Yisrael. Oh, could I set up a situation where I split the Kohanim from those who are duchenin, and there are those Kohanim who makabel the bracha, and therefore I don't need to come on to Amshe B'Sados? The answer is depends. If you can get 10 Kohanim to receive the bracha, nicha, then what's the minimum number of Kohanim in this space Knesset to operate? I need 11. One Kohen to Mevarech and 10 to be Mizbarach. But if I cannot set up 10 Kohanim in the Tzibur, right? If I cannot send as Mizbarachim, then it's a no-go. I must have at least 10 Kohanim to be Makabel the Bracha. So again, it's either one Yisrael or 10 Kohanim. Why? And the one who asks this question is the Kesef Mishnah. But I don't understand his answer. You know,
I don't understand his question. Where does it say the Pashtus says the Kohanim is Minaminyan? Is that all you need is a minion altogether, of which some of them are Kohanim and
that's not the sense.
No, but if in the case of Beis Knesset Shekula Kohanim, the Kohen can, if it's less than a minion, then you cannot take those Kohanim out of the Duchen and put them into the Tzibur. If you have a minion of Kohanim, then you could set them up as the Mizbarach.
They can't do
We don't know why, Shaul. The reason we don't know why is so that Berzon can have a Shia.
You know what I'm saying?
if we had a minion,
the Kesef Mishnah doesn't know why. So you're in good company.
If we have a minion of 10 people, only 10, and one is a Kohen, so one gets up and duchens for 9.
Correct.
So if you have a minion of 10 people who are all Kohen, what's the difference?
That's what we're trying.
That's the question we're trying to figure out.
Excellent. Shalom Baruch Shekivanti, you machavim to the cash of the kesef. So Rabbi Yosef, for this, I want you to take a look at this page that I gave out. Okay, this is from the Shiuri Arav from my Rebbe Shiurim, and he says the following: Now Gemara Nireh, it seems from the sugya in Shas here in Sota, Shem Yesham Yisrael Echad. If you have one Jew who's a Yisrael in the audience, Afal Pisha Ain Shom Asori Yisraelim. Lanos Amen. You don't have a tzibur of 10 people saying Amen. Nevertheless, kol kohanim olim leduchen. All kohanim go up to give a bracha for the one yidl, for the one Yisrael. Because the Gemara is Iri Dafka based Knesset Shekula Kohanim. The Gemara has this problem only because there's no Yisraelim around. Kishyesham Yisraelim, even though there's no requirement of 10 Yisraelim, then the Kohanim could be Mavarech. And all the Kohanim should be Mavarech. We want all the Kohanim to be Mavarech. Why? Because each Kohen is obligated in the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim. But I need a Mizbarech. So if there's one Yisrael, I have a Mizbarech, I can set up Birchas Kohanim. There's no need to look Me'achori HaSados. Oh. Tzarech bir bozeh. Now he says, I don't understand. The maishna de bebeis hakneset shekula kohanim hadinu sheim yesham yoseh me'asara kohanim. It means there's a minimum of 11. Correct. Is miktsasim olim leduchin v'asara einam olim v'onim amen. You need 10 kohanim to be makabel the bracha. Avol kishayesh Yisrael echad is kol kohanim olim leduchin. It's not enough in a base knesset shekula kohanim to get all the kohanim to duchin minus one kohen. Let one little Reb Yid Kohen sit there and say Amen. That's not good enough. I need an entire tzibur of Kohanim in order to facilitate the bracha, which means I need a minimum of 11 Kohanim. We don't say that let part of the Kohanim go up in order that there be Asara Onim Amen in the case of Yisrael. So we're not being consistent. In the case of Yisrael, we're going to push all the Kohanim in the Shul to go up and Duchim for the sake of one Yisrael. But if we don't have a Yisrael and all we have is Kohanim, we can only exclude the Kohanim from Duchim if we have 10 Kohanim to be Makabel the Bracha, which means a minimum of 11 Kohanim. And who asked this question? The guess of Mishnah. Listen to this chiddush. The legabi mitzvahs birchas kohanim, hakohanim heim hamivarchim, vayisraelim heim hamizbarchim. That's what we said in the name of the year of the Sefer Yireya. Lachain, kohen b'tores yachid mufka mikabolas habracha. The kohen has to be mekayim his obligation as what? As a mavarech, but. We split the personalities in such a way that you have a choice. Either you're a Mavarech or you're Mizbarech. Like my father used to always say in the name of his Zayda, when it came to Maos Chitin, they used to say that he used to get up in front of the, my father came from a shtetl called Plisa, so my Alta Zayda used to get up in front of the shtetl and he used to say, Adam gift or menempt. Either you give for Maos Chitin or you receive. There's no middle ground here. So either you're a Mavarech or you're Mizbarech. If the coin is a Mavarech, he's not a Mizbarech. And that's why the Gemara says that Amar Abshu ben Levi, we'll get to this later on, it's Shem called Kohen Shem Mivarech, Mizbarech. What does it mean, Mizbarech? He gets a special bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he's not a Mizbarech in terms of his own bracha. He can't flip the bracha and play a schizophrenic role of being active and on the receiving end, right? In football, you're either on the offense or on the defense. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bestow upon you a bracha because you are Mivarech. Sheino mevarech, eino misbarach. Shenema avarecha mevarech klomar da kohanim atzmon eino misbarachim mibirchas hakohanim atzmon. The kohen who's a mevarech cannot receive the bracha as a misbarach because he's a mevarech. But the pasuk is teaching me avarecha avarecha shakadosh baruch hu, God will bestow a bracha on the kohen who's a mevarech. So don't get nervous about the fact that as a kohen you're giving a bracha and you can't receive that bracha. Don't worry about it. Hakadosh baruch hu see to it that you receive a bracha, because all brachas come from the Ribbono Shel Olam anyway. Vasher nir lefarish b'zeh dahad kohen mufka mitoras mizbarech. When the Gemara says that a kohen is a mivarech but not a mizbarech, hainu dafka b'toras yachid. That's when the kohen stands as an individual. One kohen cannot have a din of a mizbarech because he's a mivarech. Avol im yesh tzibur shel asara kohenim shemekablim habracha. If there are 10 Kohanim, Shalom, are you listening? There are 10 Kohanim to be Makabel the Bracha. They're sitting in the pews. Yeshlam din Mizbarchim. Why? That's crazy. You're telling me that the Kohen can't be a Mizbarch. No. Now you're saying that they have a din of Mizbarchim. Why? Because they take on a whole different identity. There are two identities to a Kohen. As an individual, he only has one single identity. He's a Kohen. But when he becomes part of a tzibur, he now takes on another identity. Namely what? Mikach Knesset Yisrael. The, 10 Jews, it doesn't matter whether they're Kohenim or not, create a new entity called Adam Yisrael. Val Yodam Nechshav Kehavayos Shel Klal Yisrael. In other words, through the number 10, each one becomes part of Klal Yisrael. Ubetoras Adas Yisrael, Mukhsharim Heim, Lekabolas Habracha, V'Lios Mizbarchim. So it works like this. If you were to take Kohanim out of the Tzibur, then they become Mivarchim and they can't be Mizbarchim. But if you have an entire Tzibur of Kohanim, those Kohanim could be Mizbarchim, Betoras Tzibur, V'Lachim. Kishayesh Yisrael Echad Beis HaKnesses. If you have one Jew in the pews, who chashuv misbarech? He's considered a misbarech because he's not a mavarech. And the mele tochel abracha olav, and all the kohanim could fulfill their mitzvah and go up to the duchen and be mavarech that one Yisrael. Avokshein shum Yisraelim bebeis haKnesses. Again, we're not using Amshe b'sodos now, right? V'ein shum yichidim hamizbarchim. There's no yachid who could be a mizbarech. Tzrichem asara koim lamod vilanos amen kidei sheyetzimu shel klal Yisrael mizbarchim. So again, the Yisrael as an individual could be the makabel habracha, but the Kohen has to be a Mavarech. And in his capacity as a Mavarech, he cannot be a Mizbarech. So how can I set up a Tzibur of Mizbarechim? The only possible way I can set up a Tzibur of Mizbarechim is by getting together 10 Kohanim to be Mizbarechim.
So why is that a difference still when you only have one Yisrael? It's one Yisrael. So where's the... Where's the Eda? So what?
No, the Eda...
The Eda you don't need.
What I'm saying is that the Eda could be made up by the Kohanim and the Yisrael. We now have 11 people, or even if we had 9 Kohanim, 1 Yisrael, that would be fine, because we have an Eder to engender the mitzvah of Nesias Kapayim.
Right.
The problem is that in order to set up an Eder for Nesias Kapayim, you must have a Mizbarech. The Kohen cannot be a Mizbarech because he has a role as a Mivarech. Knows once the Torah makes it incumbent upon him to be a Mivarech, he cannot be a Mizbarech. So you now have a problem. Because how do you set up a Birchas Kohanim without a Mizbarech? If you had a Yisrael, you had a Mizbarech. The Eda is supplied by the combination of those who are Kohanim, who are up there on the Duchen, together with the one Yisrael who's in the Tzibur. That's not a problem. The problem is that the Kohen cannot be a Mizbarech. We have to somehow solve the problem, the paradox. There's a paradox here, because if you want to set up a Mizbarech in order to facilitate the Kohen's bracha, if the Kohen is the only Mizbarech, you have a problem, because the Kohen has a role to play as what? As a Mivarech. Once the Torah singled him out to play the role as a Mivarech, he cannot be a Mizbarech. Memela, what I need is to get a Tzibur of Mizbarechim. Why? Because when the Kohen strips himself, so to speak, figuratively, of his role as a Kohen, now he takes on a new identity as what? As an Eda. So B'Torah's Eda, the Kohen could be a Mizbarech. As long as he's not part of an Eda, he's an individual, he's a Yachid, and for that many, if he had 9 Kohenim, his role is to be a Mivarech, who's mafkia him for being a Mizbarech. As soon as you have a full Eda of Kohanim, what you're able to generate is a new identity of the Kohen. B'Torah's Kohen Enochinami, he cannot play the role as Mizbarech, but now he can play the role as Mizbarech B'Torah's Eda, not B'Torah's Kohen.
I have two questions on that. Number one, are you saying that only works if there's 10 Kohanim to become an Eda, but not if a single Kohen or 2 or 3 Kohanim are part of a minion and there's an Eda sitting before it?
Right, because if there are 9 Kohanim, Alan, no, each no, one is a Kohen.
Forget about that.
And if he's a Kohen, he can't be a Mizbarech.
No, what I'm saying is like this. Yeah. Let's take it in a more universal sense. In other words, let's say 3 Kohan, there are 4 Kohanim in the shul, 3 of them refuse to duchen, but there's a minion there before. There are many Yisrael in there.
So there's one Kohen who could duchen?
One Kohen is willing to duchen, so he duchen.
So what's your problem?
Now, what I'm saying is, now, are those 3 Kohanim that refuse to duchen, are they part of an Eda, so they are being Mizbarechim, or are they...
I don't think so, not according to this thesis, because the thesis is that a Kohen, insofar as he's obligated to be a Mavarech. Now, you might ask the question about, we spoke about Mumim and so forth, but if a Kohen is a Bar Chiyuva, in Birchas Kohanim, the Torah is saying, you're not a Mizbarech. Don't get nervous, don't lose any sleep on it, Kodesh Baruch will take care of you, bro. But the Torah is halachically, in terms of setting up a Birchas Kohanim with a Mizbarech, the Kohen can't play that role. In order for the Kohen to play that role, he has to take on a new identity. And what is that new identity? He now becomes an Eda. So if he now takes together with 9 Kohanim the seats in the Beis Knesses, now he can take on a new entity. He's no longer a Mufka from being a Mizbarech. He could be a Mizbarech. And why? Because he's B'Torah. We have 5 minutes. Let me just, Alan, I'll answer your question later. I just want to just finish up the paragraph so we see a Dovrishon. Yesh listapik, kishayesh achadesrei kohanim beis haknesses. There are 11 people and they're all kohanim in the shul. And there are two options in front of you. Which one is what's the word I'm looking for? Not superior?
Preferable.
Excellent. Which one is preferable? Option number one. Echad yala leduchin. That's certainly a viable option. One Kohen should be ola leduchin. V'asara yanu amen. And let 10 Kohenim respond amen. Perfect. What's the problem? The problem is that then you've knocked out 10 Kohenim from duchin. That's not so great. Oh, what's the other option? Kulam yalu leduchen. But wait a minute, who's sitting in the pews? If all 11 kohanim are up in the duchen, the shul is empty, so to speak. But v'yivarchu liyam shebesados. In other words, you have a chisaron in each case. In the first case, the chisaron is that no kohen is going to be able. In the first case, is that 10 out of the 11 kohanim are not going to what? Are not going to be mevarchim. They're going to have to forfeit their role as mevarchim. Okay, so that's a drawback, but it's acceptable. In the second option, all the kohanim are going to, the advantage is that all the kohanim are going to be mevarchim, but the drawback is that now you have to fall back on amshim esados, which is really not, you know, the perfect situation, especially the way we learned that the amshim esados is only there to set up the bracha. He wants to say that it depends on the machlokas rishon. Now keep in mind, the pasuk says ko sivarchu es b'nei Yisrael. Sivarchu means two kohanim, a minimum of two kohanim. But we know that one kohen is enough. But the question is, one kohen the same as two kohanim? So that's a machlokas rishon. That's what the Rav wants to suggest. It's a machlokas rishon. Nechleku rishonim. Kishayesh Kohen Echad Veis HaKnesses, is that equivalent to two Kohenim? Meaning that one Kohen is fulfilling the mitzvah, the Shlemus, it's a mitzvah Doraisa of Kosev Archus Ben Israel. Oh, Mirabbana. The Torah requires a minimum of two Kohen. The Ayin Bitosis Menachos, Mendalit Omen Aleph, I think you have it on the page over here, in the middle of page one. And it says here, the Rabbeinu Tam Sover, the Kohen Echad, Eino Chayav B'Nesiyas Kapayim El Midrabban. Okay, I think I underlined it for you. Or maybe I didn't. Yeah, I underlined it for you. Okay, that's in the middle of page one. In other words, according to Rabbeinu Tam, when there's only one Kohenim, the mitzvah of Birchas Kohenim drops from a Doraisa to a Drabban.
Is that the way we
paskin? I don't know if we paskin like that. The Rambam seems to say not like that. The Rambam assumes, and you'll take a look in both the Mishnah Torah and the Sefer HaMitzvahs, we don't have time for that now, that Kohen Echad Chayav Lalos Leduchim Min HaTorah. There may be an enhancement of the mitzvah Doraisa if you have two Kohenim, because then it's Amar Lahem, right? And by the way, we're going to soon see that Amar is a kium to notify the Kohanim or to request of the Kohanim to respond with a bracha. That only applies if there are two Kohanim. If there's one Kohanim, there's no mitzvah of Amar Lahem. But in any event, the Rambam seems to assume that even when you drop the mitzvah of Amar Lahem, you still maintain a mitzvah d'oraisa with one Kohen. Vindira. Dil Rabbeinu Tam, and here you go below the line. I'm sorry, it didn't come out so good. The Kohen Echad Chayev Lalos Rak Min Rabbanon is therefore Lechora Adif Sheyalu Kulam Ulevarech Es Am Shebesodos. The second option becomes preferable, even though it's a fallback position of Am Shebesodos, because at least now what you have is that every Kohen is being Mekayim a Mitzvah Doraisa. The Afal Gav to Bevade Choser Bekiyum a Mitzvah. It's not 100%. It's a Knapper Nesi. It's a fallback position. Change on Tzimis Barakim. Mikomakom Adif Lekayim Ikar Mitzvah Doraisa. According to Rabbeinu Tam, that you require a minimum of two Kohanim in order to fulfill the Mitzvah Doraisa. They base Kohanim Barakim. But Ule Mandi Omar, according to the Rambam Shita, the Kohen Echad Ola Duchim Minat Torah, that the Kiyum of Amar Lahem doesn't in any way make the Mitzvah Doraisa of Birchas Kohanim contingent on two Kohanim. The Mitzvah can be fulfilled even Midoraisa with one Kohen. Then here's my suffix. Yeshless topic. Im adif sheyala rak Kohen echad, which according to the Rama would be a kiyum do raisa vashar yanu amen. Let the rest of the Kohen answer amen to avoid what? Am shebesados, which is a fallback position. Oh, I would add Odilma sheyalu kulam. Let all the Kohenim go up. Sharei af Kohen Echad Ola B'Doraisa, even if one Kohen would go up, you would fulfill a mitzvah D'Oraisa. Aval Adayin Yesh Kiyum, the Rambam would admit that by adding in the second Kohen, you enhance the mitzvah Birchas Kohenim. Why is that so? Shari B'Kohen Echad Ein Achazin Kori Alav Lalos L'Duchenu B'Shnayim O Yoser HaKohenim Ein Maskil L'Varch Zad Sheyikol Em Hashatz Kohenim Kivu B'Rambam. And the Gemara will soon see, and so to derive that from a pasuk of Emor Lahem. And therefore, you have two options now. Yeshlis topic. Im odiv sheyalaga koin echod. In which case, according to the Rambam, he will fulfill a mitzvah d'oraisa, but he's lacking the embellishment of what? Emor Lahem. Vashar yamdu lekabel habracha. So that we avoid the what? The amshav esodos, which means, as Rashi says, not kedas, because kedas requires ponim el ponim. Kidei shakoin yivarch tzibur shal asora ponim el ponim. Oh, ha'im odiv sheyalu kulam. Now we have Emor Lahem, because we have all the Kohenim up there, more than just one Kohen. And the reason why we would want to do so, even if we have to fall back on the Shalokidas and forfeit the Panim El Panim element, but nevertheless it's worth giving up on that in order to achieve the embellishment of Emor Lahem. So again, let's just sum up.
You don't have Emor Lahem.
Wait, just give me one split second.
Because everyone's a Kohen. Do I know you still have to be the Chazan? If there's another Kohen, he's on the Duchner. Isn't anybody to be, let's say, Emor Lahem in this situation?
Wait, what's the case here? Emor Lahem applies to the Chatchil if you have someone to call.
That's part of the 10.
Okay, well, let me come back. Again, Rabosa, you're ahead of me. I'm behind you. Let me just go over this. Again, according to Rabbeinu Tam, who says that if one coin goes up, right? One coin goes up, then you forfeit the mitzvah d'oraisa of Birchas Kohanim, meaning Rabbeinu Tam understood that Emor Lahem is likuva midoraisa. And if you don't have Emor Lahem, then there's no mitzvah d'oraisa of Birchas Kohanim. So clearly what we want to do is we want to get Kohanim up there, not just one single Kohen. And even though we're going to have to forfeit the Panim El Panim element, and we're going to have to rely on Am Shebisados, but nevertheless, we're fulfilling the mitzvah d'oraisa of Birchas Kohen. But according to the Rambam, that there's a mitzvah d'oraisa of Birchas Kohen with one Kohen, just that we're forfeiting the embellishment of Emor Lahem, but the basic mitzvah d'oraisa we are fulfilling, then we can have a suffix. What's better? In other words, we have to, what's the word I want to use? Juggle or balance between the two. If we send up all the Kohanim, we're going to forfeit the Panim El Panim, but we're going to gain the Emor Lahem. If we send up one Kohen, we'll get the Panim El Panim, because as we said before, 10 Kohanim could be Mizbarachim, because they form a Tzibur, so the Panim El Panim of the Lechatchila Dika Mitzvah Panim El Panim we gain. But in so doing, what we're going to forfeit is the embellishment of Emor Lahem.
So there are only 10 people in this meeting.
It's a beautiful single target. You get a chance to have.
There are 11. One's the Chazan, who's a Kohen.
The Chazan plays two roles, depending.
The Chazan is a Kohen.
If he's right. A Kohen.
And then there's 10 up on the beam. On the
right.
And the Chazan, according to the Rambam, it's not the Shliach Tzibur that calls out.
So that's the sugya that we're not up to.
But that, assuming it's true, it's not that, him.
So that's the sugya here. You have your page, you feel. Right? If you have your page, if you take a look on page 2 of Yomar Makomos, there's Machlokes Shin the Rambam and Tosfos as to who is Mekayim the mitzvah of Emor Lahem. The Rambam sheet is that the Shliach Tzibur is Mekayim. And Tosfos says the Shliach Tzibur can't do it because of a different problem called Hefsek. And as a result of his Hefsek, you're going to have to get a Chazan. Now the word Chazan doesn't mean Shliach Tzibur. That's what Rabbeinu Tam proves from many sugyos and shas.
So in this case, the Rambam holds the Shliach Tzibur, who is a Kohen.
Who is a Kohen. The fact that
say Kohen.
Right, that's not a problem. That the Shliach Tzibur. Right.
Okay.
All right, Rabosai, we'll stop here. I'm sorry about the lateness of the hour, but. Okay, so Bli Neder, if we can ask the Tzibur Amiz Barchim here to hold on to these pages so that we can continue next time.